At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Football on Off the Ball
with Sky. Don't miss Arsenal versus Everton in the Women's Super League. Sunday, live on Sky Sports.
Gavin Comiskey, how are you?
Johnny, what's the crack?
Yeah, I probably expected over the years, if I were interviewing you from some far-flung field, it'd be like Paris or Rome. You might be sipping a nice glass of red, obviously not on the job or whatever, but instead you're in like an oil-rich autocracy in Azerbaijan. How did it come to this?
I know, yeah, it's mad, isn't it? But yeah, it's a pretty nice place, nice part of the world. Either very, very wealthy or very, very poor.
Have you been able to get around?
Yeah, kind of look around. Not as much. I'd like to get into the old city tomorrow and have a real good route into it because it looks beautiful, like really spectacular. But yeah, went out for dinner last night. You have to be out of all the public houses by midnight or you can get arrested. So there was no messing around with the police.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants to get arrested in Azerbaijan. What's the mood like among the Irish journalists over there, actually?
Sorry, say again?
What's the mood like among the Irish press over there?
Good, yeah. What I have noticed is the mood with the between the players and the media has been, it's not good. It won't be good for a while.
I wonder why.
After Callum's press conference on Tuesday.
And we will get to that. I suppose the first clip we should go to, some fitness doubts about Jason Knight and Adam Ida have surfaced since the squad arrived in Baku. Stephen Kenny had this update.
Yeah, listen, they both travelled to the stadium this evening. They're both fine. We don't know whether they're strong enough to play. We'll have to see how they train and make decisions after that. Nothing to be concerned about in regarding to pass all the relevant tests that they need to. And in that regard, there's nothing to be concerned about. So just whether they're well enough and feel strong enough to play.
Yeah, I suppose, Gavin, the first point here is we're told this is not COVID-related, which it would actually be almost hilarious if this were to befall us, given so much has gone wrong. But what is the latest over there, and like who are we expecting to start in these key positions, obviously, tomorrow?
Yeah, well, just to give you a bit of background on this, we spoke, Stephen spoke to the journalists, the print journalists this morning. He very kindly met us and outside the Northern Protocol, sat down and talked to us at length. As you know, he's got a good relationship with a lot of the soccer cores going back 20 years. So he offered us this information about Jason Knight and Adam Ida. He said that they were could be like just an airport bug thing. They got a fever on the flight or whatever it was, high temperature. And the two of them did nothing to do with COVID, tested twice, everything rigorously, all fine. So you just, you know, back in normal times where you can just pick up something on a plane, in the charter flight, probably, or something like that. They were out in the Olympic Stadium tonight. And as Kenny said, he doesn't know if they're going to be strong enough. The only thing I will say is they've been able to put them in the squad and they're both 20, you know, and they're both superhuman fit guys, as you saw with Ida last month. And every time Jason Knight, he's a real box-to-box midfielder. So, as I was writing there, like if the revolution is ever going to happen, these two will be key players. And to avoid a disaster, it would be great to see Jason Knight come back into the midfield. So we'll see. If not, I think Callum Robinson's starting no matter what. I presume Callum Robinson was going to, again, because he's over COVID and all of that. I presume he was going to replace Aaron Connolly just simply on form. But if Ida gets taken out, it changes a lot because I don't know who can play that Ida role, that up top role, that strong, you know, that movement thing. So yeah, a lot has been said about Chidozie Okpene coming in this week. Again, I think Kenny would prefer to use him like he did in Hungary, but just earlier off the bench and that pace of his. But it might make sense to use him from the start because his pace is just so electrifying. He's been playing right wing back, literally because of his pace for Rotherham. It's not out of the question to use him actually up top. But one thing we do know is like Kenny's going to play his usual system. It's kind of almost settled now at 3-4-2-1. So
are you pretty confident in that? Yeah, he's not going to switch to 4-5-1 with the wingers available or whatever.
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think he is. I think he's going to keep with Doherty and Enda Stevens. And one thing we actually didn't check was whether Enda Stevens is okay. He's only played 90 minutes for Sheffield United after an injury. So McLean or Stevens on as left wing backs, I imagine. Obamadele, Duffy, Egan. Egan, as you might have heard, I don't know, but he's in pretty bullish form. And every time Callum Robinson's name came up, they're really disappointed with some of the commentary about that. They feel like that one of the most loved players in the squad, a guy who always puts his hand up to do media. They feel like he's been unnecessarily dragged over the coals by certain elements of the media in the last few days. So in a way, you can actually twist that into it. There's a real there's a huge togetherness in the squad anyway, but you can really feel it today. Egan was not taking any just wasn't taking any questions on it really. Yeah, that's something that they're definitely using themselves, I think.
Yeah, and obviously, as you know yourself, regardless of what Code One does these press conferences in, 99.999999% of the time they're anodyne, nothing happens. But obviously, Callum Robson is something of an unlikely sacrificial lamb this week. And Stephen Kenny has spoken about this. He may have used slightly unfortunate wording in terms of describing the Callum Robinson debacle, Robinson Gate, whatever you want to call it. But here he is talking about Callum Robinson at the press conference.
You know, what I could say is about Callum Robinson is that, you know, he's such a popular member of the squad. He's a breath of fresh air. He always comes in with a smile on his face. He's infectious. You know, he brings laughter to the dressing room. People love him. He's very, you know, he has great qualities as a man, great qualities as a human being. He has attracted a lot of criticism. Because he just came into a press conference and where vast majority of players don't answer the refuse to answer the questions, he was open and transparent, and he has been vilified for it. But he is a terrific person, and I think that all of the players would verify that. They really speak so well of him, and you know, he's a very, very popular member of the squad.
We've had a situation here where Aidan Fitzmaurice has written an article essentially saying that, you know, Kenny should pick players who are vaccinated. And it probably a lot of the players now are aware of the media storm this has created. And obviously this must have been the breeding ground, so to speak, for a somewhat tetchy press conference, maybe on the back of the whole Robinson thing.
The players are really annoyed. Kenny's not. Staff are quite annoyed. But if we go back into it, you got to be straight. Cal Robinson wasn't open and transparent because he just said, I haven't got the vaccination, but he didn't say why. Mm. There was no elaboration on it. So we don't know if it's complete conspiracy theory stuff. Nobody's been briefed whether it's some kind of medical condition, or nobody's been briefed about any of the details about it. And it is considered a problem. You saw the FAI's strange four-paragraph release there when we were all travelling the other day. So there is a group of footballers in England who are influenced by whatever it is, family, friends, or the culture they're in, that is going against their medical doctors, their GPs, the likes of Klopp and Kenny. So it's such a, as I know you've talked this at length for the last few days, and everyone has, and I'm sure people are getting quite sick of it. But we can't call it open and transparent because he didn't explain it. So that's just a fact.
I don't know what anyone's view on this is, Gavin, but it doesn't shine well on footballers, full stop. You see the figures that have been released in terms of rugby players, you know, regardless of what...
But the rugby players are contracted to the IRFU, so okay. They can just have their contracts thrown up, so we can't do a comparison there. Maybe it looks like a couple of football clubs in England, like a Liverpool or something, have maybe not financial penalties, but like you look at Kyrie Irving, one of the biggest sports stars in the world, one of the highest paid, Nike makes a shoe for him every year. Over in the Brooklyn Nets. At the moment, he's going to be playing 50% of his games next season in the NBA. So, like, that's just madness, you know, because he doesn't want to get a vaccine because of, when you dig into it, like, it's quite funny. We can't take, I know it's quite very serious and all that, but, like, does all of this stem from, like, Nicki Minaj's tweet that went all around the world that forced her to go to the White House and meet Joe Biden and talk about vaccine education? There's an influence that's happening, and like if you're going to say I'm not getting vaccinated, if you're going to say that in a press conference, you have to explain why. But I also completely hear the Irish players' point of view and John Egan's point of view. Mm. You're talking about my that calling on Callum Robinson to be dropped, and a lot of people, I think, from it, and normally this, I'd be a victim of this, where you get to, our job as journalists is to remain professional, but sometimes you can get a bit emotive about these kind of things. And I think a lot of them, some of the sections of the media that have been highly critical have gotten a little bit, and maybe that kind of came true in one of the pieces I wrote instantly after the press conference as well, but I don't think it should be an emotive issue. Like Nathan Collins, who's an extremely impressive young man, the Burnley centre half, the 28-year-old guy with a big, vast family of Collinses who play professional football. He was asked about it yesterday at the end of our chat with him, down in the Hilton Hotel, in, like, again, you know, in real oil-rich area of Baku. And he was just like breaking it down, going, if your friend was like this, would you hold it against him? Would you hold it against the family member? No, you'd probably stay away from them a bit, but you wouldn't. He goes, look, this is still the very early days, so it's going to be human nature that you have certain people going this way. And I do think we have to remember all of this in the middle of it all, that it's, of course, 26-year-olds might have a view that's incorrect, but what are you going to do? You know, like, you can't punish them for this. So I think it's grown too big around one person. Like, you did see the global reach of it. Callum Robinson's name got bandied around all over the world in media dispatches. But that's not on him. That's not on the players, the squad. Got to sit on the communications department of the FAI.
Yeah, I actually think you could write an entire book about Stephen Kenny's career in the Ireland job so far, even though it's been so ephemeral and so forth. And this week has just been a chapter in itself about how utterly basket case this has been, and so many twists and turns. Why does this game tomorrow matter so much when it's essentially a dead rubber?
It matters because if they don't get a win, his position, no matter how much people think he deserves a European campaign, no matter how much good he's done with this, like, the average, this team is all 19, 20, 21, so many of them. But, like, if they lose tomorrow to this is a poor team. They play with a really rigid defensive structure. But they're, you got to be, even Kenny spoke to us today at Lent, and I think if you pick up a newspaper tomorrow, you're going to see some really good stuff from Kenny. And there won't be the same stuff, even though there was six or seven different media outlets interviewing him. There was six or seven topics that he went into in detail. And the way he described Azerbaijan, and the way he described his own players, this Ireland team who want to play a passing, possession-based game, they need to be picking a team like this apart. And this is something that hasn't happened yet. And this is a major problem. Like, the progress can't be, there is no progress if you play out of your skin and are desperately looking to lose in Faro, and also hang on in against Serbia and snatch a draw. But then, like, that Azerbaijan performance last month, the draw, you know, that's, they've said it themselves in the Luxembourg game last March, it's just not acceptable.
Well, we've been crap against inferior opposition. This is the problem.
So that's just the hurdle they got to get over for him to keep his job, unfortunately, you know. Now, I'm looking at this today, like, they just need to get some good results. They need to get a result here tomorrow. And unfortunately, a draw is not a result. It's irrelevant for World Cup qualifying, we know all that. But a win here, just, it's, there's no Irish team that I can remember in my lifetime where it would be acceptable not to get a result, not to get a win in Azerbaijan.
And we have...
I don't care how football's changed. I don't care how modern it's gotten or anything like that, how every game is tough. Yeah, sure. But you saw them in Dublin. Like, this team, Ireland should have had 2-3 goals in the first 15 minutes. And then they just, the way they dropped off, and again, it was probably because the team was slightly changed and a couple of players couldn't get back up to the level after playing Portugal. But none of those excuses exist now. This is a difficult place to come and win a game, but this is just base level standard stuff. Whatever team gets put out, even if Adam Eden doesn't recover, even if Jason Knight doesn't recover, I know Seamus Coleman's missing. They have to win this game for Kenny. And it's been put to them, it was put to John Egan, going, is this a performance to save your manager's job? Because to a man, there hasn't even been any whispers of criticism about Kenny and the way their setup is and the way they train and the sharpness of their training and the levels of their training with Anthony Barry and Keith Anders is such a high level. So everyone's gushing in praise of that. And they all are singing from the same hymn sheet, which is rare. But it's gas. It is a dead rubber. It is a nothing game. But it feels quite big when you're close to the camp and you talk to one or two of them. They do know what's on. They do know what's on the line here. They do know the consequences.
Yeah, and Philip Quinn was on OTB AM this week along with Gavin Cooney. It was a fascinating debate in terms of the manager, and a lot of Philip's coverage in the Daily Mail has been, in the Irish Daily Mail, has been maybe a little bit critical of Kenny. But one interesting article he had this week, he dissected some of his comments in press conferences, and I think it's a fair point to make that Kenny, obviously, he does try to, you know, he tries to feed a narrative, he tries to say the right things in press conferences. There's nothing you can say here, Gavin. We have no excuses whatsoever going into this game.
Yeah, I also think Kenny spoke to us all in a calmer environment this morning, because I don't know if you've come across this, but he's exceptional when it's not like a 10-minute Zoom or a pre-match thing. He's never been really that good in those kind of situations. He can be quite bullish, but his intellect shines through when you spend about 20 minutes in his company, you know. And yeah, he hasn't tried to sugarcoat anything. I'm repeating myself, but he has to get his selection right. I think it's going to be the same system that I think, and I think this is a really important thing, is that they've settled into a system. So the team knows everything now. They've had loads of prep. This is the best preparation they've actually had going into a game, I think. And if you include last month, which is not far away, there's a lot of players who are now being told via selection that you're an international footballer. And a lot of them have proven it, like Cullen or Hendrick, I thought had really good windows last month.
Yeah. And just to note, Football and Off the Ball is brought to you by Sky. All the football you love in one place, across Sky Sports, BT Sport and Premier Sport. And just on that team then, does he start Connolly? What role does Connolly play? Been a lot of debate about Connolly's kind of role in the squad and Kenny's faith in him. How do you see the team lining out? Do you think Connolly will play much of a role? And what will happen if Ida doesn't play?
Okay, well, if Ida, let's say Ida does play, right? Let's say Ida and Knight are okay tomorrow, which is possible, you know. Let's see the two of them. It's a 24-hour bug. They get it out of their system. I think Jason Knight, if Wayne Rooney hadn't shattered his ankle there in preseason, would have been, he already was kind of the linchpin in this team. I think he can play him in one of the positions, either Robinson or McGrath's position behind Ida. So I think Knight comes in with Cullen and Hendrick holding. It gets really difficult. Ida, funnily enough, who was so good in the last month, even though he was really poor in the Carabao Cup for Norwich against Liverpool, and just can't find a goal. He's become really important for Ireland because of his pace, because of his strength, and you saw the way he held up the ball against really world class centre halves. So, if he goes out, what do you do? Like, does Will Keane get dropped in? 28 years old, uncapped, ignored by previous Republic of Ireland managers, and you just throw this guy in. You
It'd be such a Kenny move. It'd be such a, like, to pick up this.
He doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
I think he does, because Ida has all. Ida is a higher standard of striker than him.
Not playing, though.
That's proven. Yeah, I know. He should be playing in the Championship team. Well, he probably will be playing in the Championship team next season when Norwich get relegated. But, that's the option. I don't think Troy Parrott has a role. The problem with Aaron Connolly is, again, he got his one chance in the Carabao Cup and scored two nice goals for Brighton. But he's nowhere near their Premier League starting 11. But Connolly, I don't think he did enough. He just needed to score one of those. He just needed to take one of those chances. And the way he went down easy in Portugal and the referee didn't buy it. There was a lot of elements to his game. Like, he was whipped off at halftime. Now, they subsequently said they found a scan, they found an injury, but he was whipped off at halftime against Azerbaijan. Or was it Serbia? No, it was Azerbaijan, I think.
He was taken off at halftime, yeah.
Yeah, and that was tactical. Mm-hmm. Kenny said that this week. I think he's done enough to be removed. I think he hasn't done enough to stay in the team. Callum Robinson will come in, you know. Again, Callum Robinson would have been starting in these games if he hadn't had COVID, not to go back down that road. But he was excellent when he came on against Serbia, you might remember. He's put in the ball, I think, didn't he, for the equaliser?
Mm-hmm.
And he just, in that kind of, in one of the two guys behind the front man, He offers so much pace, so much movement. Him and Jamie McGrath, I'd imagine, would be the two that would sit in there.
It's so weird as well for a dead rubber that you're just envisaging something dramatic's going to happen. Callum Robinson's going to score, Keane is going to come off the bench and score, and Nicolay winner for Ireland, and so on and so forth. Before we finish up with you, what do you think the first question to Stephen Kenny will be post the match tomorrow in his press conference?
I think they'll win 2-0, so I think it'll be really low-key. I don't think it'll be... maybe that's just because we're on the ground here, but the vaccine thing kind of has been and done.
Mm.
What do you want to do? Keep battering away at this? What's going to be achieved? The squad, who were a young, open, talkative squad, won't be talking openly for a long, long time, I don't think, because of what they witnessed this week. The point was correct to ask it and to pursue it. But if you're on the inside looking out, just that one of their players was singled out and bullied, that's their perspective, is what I'm gathering, you know, from one or two elements. And that's hurt them, it's stung them. So I don't think Kenny will be asked that seriously, because I do think they'll get a competent win here. Now, I'm saying that with not enough evidence, without any evidence in games like this. But like, this team is growing. And I'm saying it's growing because you're hearing, again, these 19, 20-year-olds like Omar Babadeli, Nathan Collins, who actually, sorry, I don't think he'll feature, but he's really impressive. And yeah, I don't know if you've seen him coming up through the ranks with Jerry Orchard and Stoke mm-hmm. over the years, with a real, really, really fine prospect, who probably would have been in ahead of Omar Babadeli if not for he had a little injury. And probably might even be established now, just like Quevin Gallagher probably would have been established if he hadn't had a little knock and Bazunu came in and changed it. But again, Bazunu spoke this week too, and it blows my mind a little bit that he's 19, you know.
Such impressive guys for their age.
Yeah, they are. And they don't need to, because they're 19, 20, but they desperately want to just express themselves and play to a level.
Mm.
But they're up against a team that, see, the beauty of this is they're up against a team that are ultra defensive and are really difficult to break down. But ironically, Azerbaijan are at home, so they're going to want to do something, aren't they? They're going to want to come out a bit, and that's how Ireland do number two goals.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm on Off the Ball tomorrow to talk football before the game, and people who will have heard me before the home game would have noted I predicted a comfortable win. But I'm like you, Gavin. I actually think they'll win pretty comfortably tomorrow, because I think they need a statement win. They've no excuses in terms of the camp. They're playing a team that has to come out a little bit to play, yet is very limited going forward. And if Ireland got an early goal or a relatively early goal, the shackles are off.
Yeah. Well, you're nearly frightened if they got a goal, went 1-0 up though, you know what I mean? Because they're back in that situation again. But I think all of the drama that's been around the last week and last month, I think that can be quite dampened down, which is not what the journalists and what you guys want at all. But I think it can be dampened down with just a really efficient performance. I think it's a game where someone like Jeff Hendrick can dominate. I know he's not getting he's played last week for Newcastle and scored a goal, but he's nowhere near their team. And I imagine there's going to be a couple of high-quality midfielders coming into that club in the next while. But I reckon someone like him can dominate this game, can get on the ball a lot and work it up the field. And I'd be very confident in a win, a comfortable win.
And then we can
build nicely for the Portugal game, you know, which will be a blockbuster match no matter what, because it looks like if the government gives the green light on October 22nd, we could have a full house at a football match in our country.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Enjoy the old town in Baku, and don't get in the way of the law, put it that way.
No way. I'll let you know how I get on.
That was beautiful. That was Gavin Comiskey, the Irish Times football correspondent. After the break, who knows more about Kenny Cunningham's career, Nathan Murphy or Kenny Cunningham? This is not to be missed. The crappy quiz is next.
One last question on this. Is there any merit in experimenting with Proposal B for a couple of seasons to see how it works?
No.
OTB AM, live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.